Hey, good Saturday morning, Sower Nation. It is September the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. I am so glad to be here. I'm so happy we're walking through this letter, this most significant letter in the history of the world, Paul's letter to the Romans in the first century AD. It's amazing. And we're doing it together. And let me tell you what's even better than that. Jesus is leading us through it. I'm the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord here. He's the teacher. And anything that, is not of him, it's going to fall away. And the things that are of him, they're going to stick. You're waking up, you're growing up, and increasingly you're showing up in your world with him. So let's dive in here this morning with consecration and kick off this meeting as we love to do with wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the church said, Amen. Well, today's text, the entry is entitled, Why There Is Only One Prayer. And the text is Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I want you to repeat after me and aloud today so your ears can hear it. We are going to personalize the text I just read. Repeat line for line. Are you ready? I am not righteous, not even me. I do not understand. I do not seek God. I have turned away. I have become worthless. I do not do good, not even me. My throat is an open grave. My tongue practices deceit. The poison of vipers is on my lips. My mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. My feet are swift to shed blood. My ways are marked by ruin and misery. I do not know the way of peace. My eyes do not see the fear of God. I know many of you had a hard time with that because it isn't where you are now. However, at minimum, it is where you were before you met Jesus. It cannot be overstressed to remember who you once were. Even if you did not do these specific sins, sin was in you. It commanded you, ruled you, and ruined your life. Even if everything on the outside had the touch of a master decorator. When we say with Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel," we're acknowledging who we once were. We are saying, "This was me, my lot, my reality, even if I didn't fully realize it at the time. I was under the power of capital S sin. I could do nothing to free myself." This is the reason why many decent, God-fearing, church-going people aren't really saved from capital S sin. Because they haven't yet realized they were under the power of sin, which is another way of saying you still are. To justify oneself by saying, "I am baptized," is just like a Jew in Bible times saying, "I am circumcised," from our text today. The gospel is not skin level. It is deep heart level. It gets down into your guts where shame hides and tries to convince you it's not there. It's why at the end of the day, I contend there is only one prayer and one prayer alone. And I know I hyperbolize here, but this perhaps is the root of all prayer. It goes like this: "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That is known as the ancient Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's pray together. Yes, Jesus, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I confess that something in me wants to believe Jesus is a great Savior without believing I am a gross sinner. Seeing myself that way offends my pride, which is another way of saying it stokes my shame. So I will say it here before you, Jesus, not as a self-condemning statement, but as the liberating words of the honest truth: I am a gross sinner. It was far worse than I realized. And I'm now beginning to know that you are far greater than I could have ever imagined. Something about knowing who I once was opens me up to knowing who you most truly are and who I am most truly becoming. Yes, Jesus, this is the way. You are the way. Praying now in your name. Amen. Got some journal prompts today. So are you tracking with me today? Are you struggling with what I'm saying today? Does something in you resist confessing? Not your sins, little s, S-I-N-S, but your capital S sin. I am a great sinner. Jesus is a great Savior. I think that's the words of the writer of the great hymn, Amazing Grace. He said that at the end of the day, he'd learned two things. I am a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. And just a couple of comments here. It's just so easy. And this is how I think I lived a long time. I just lived at the level of little s sins. Like, well, yeah, I know I've done some bad things, but they weren't real bad. They weren't really as bad as a lot of people have done. And really everybody kind of does these things. So you just sort of think, well, I'm not that bad of a sinner. I'm not perfect. And you don't really understand the issue is not your little s sins. Those are the symptoms. And whether they're big or small, it's like if you got the symptoms, what that tells you is you have a sickness. And this is a kind of cancer, okay? I use a metaphor when I talk about cancer and sin. This is a kind of cancer that if you've got it, you're dead. You won't survive it. Doesn't matter if you have a lot or a little. And the truth is, the truth that the Bible reveals is that we're all born with it. Sin, cancer, capital S, sin. And it's that sickness that leads to all the symptoms. And as long as we're treating the symptoms, it's like we're going to get cough medicine for lung cancer. Now, it might mask them a little bit, might suppress the cough a little bit, but it will not touch the cancer. This is why Jesus is a great Savior. We are all gross sinners. It doesn't matter what the sins are. It matters that we've got the sickness. But Jesus said, I've come for the sick, and I've come to bring the cure. He has a 100% cure rate. And he will cure the sin, capital S, sin, cancer. And it will begin in time to eradicate the symptoms. Can't overstress how many, many, many would-be Christians have just sort of thought Christianity was a self-improvement program. I could be better. I'm pretty good, I guess. I could be great. This is not a good to great program. This is a death to life gospel. I love how in Colossians chapter 1, I love the text between Colossians 1:15 and maybe down to the end of the chapter even, but there's a place in there where he says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, blameless and free from accusation, without blemish and free from accusation. Wow, I mean, he says, even before that, he says, He says, but he talks about in him, you have been reconciled to God. This is what's broken. This is what Jesus heals. And I don't know. I think so often we have really constructed a gospel that is just built around behavior management, shame, pride if you feel like you're behaving better, shame if you feel like you're behaving badly. And that's not the gospel at all. That's just dead religion. So would you just, a lot of us feel like we can't say the things that the text today says. And even if they're not true of you now, they once were true of you. This is not a morality program. This is broken to whole. And if we can't own our past, we can't claim our future. How about that? I've got Dad coming in today, and we're going to sing a song that you know, and we're going to accentuate a verse of that song. It is well with my soul, in peace like a river. But there's a verse in here that is, I don't know, maybe it's third verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Yeah, Jesus died for our sins, folks, but we've got to realize he died for our sin, my sin, your sin, the sickness we were born with that has led to all the broken symptoms. And if we can own that, we can claim the future that verse in this song, It Is Well With My Soul, celebrates. Dad's going to help me. We'll go there now.
If my soul...
Let's see if we can harmonize that.
It is well...
Is well...
With my soul...
With my soul...
It is well... It is well... With my soul...
I wish I could sing harmonies I never learned. Well, guys, you've already gotten a little bit of a warm-up on today's song, and tell them what it is.
When Peace Like a River.
What's the page number?
Page 344.
344 in our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5, and I want to pay particular note to verse 3. That's really the core of what we're working through in the wake-up call these days in Romans. My sin, yeah, you've already talked about it. Now we're going to sing it. Let's sing this one out to the Lord like we mean it.
Okay.
When peace like a river attends my way,
when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
Verse 3.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not incurred, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
Last verse.
And Lord,
haste
the day when my face shall be bright. And a cloud be out back, and a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall declare, it is though it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord,
that's it. Oh. We just sang the last verse. You want to sing it again, didn't you?
I just about did.
That's that last verse. And Lord, haste the day when my faith
fades away
shall be sight. You won't need faith when you're seeing him.
Mm-mm.
It's like the clouds are going to roll back.
And there Jesus
like
is.
A scroll. There he is. And he was always there, just right through the veil. And he will, the trumpet shall sound, the Bible says. And the Lord will descend. And that will be a day. That'll be the last day. The last day of the present age. And the beginning.
But we just need to be there.
How we get there?
We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
And we're there.
Accept Jesus Christ. That's the message of Romans. Open up your life to receive Him.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of you will do it today. Today. There's no time like now.
Amen.
Let's just pray, Jesus, we would receive you into our hearts. And those of us who have received you into our hearts, we just say more, more, more of you, which will become actually more of us, more of our true self. So save us from our sins. Save us in your love. Save us and move us in your power that we might help others to
That's
know
right.
you. To believe you.
We want others to be there with us.
That's right.
In heaven.
That's right.
And because, you know, we'll be looking around. Where's so-and-so? Where's Bill? Where's John? Where's Mary? And we want them to say, here I am, here I am, here I am.
That's right. Think of them today. Pray for them today. What a great time together this morning. It's time to hit the fields to sow the goodness of God, the
Amen.
Love of God, the encouragement of Jesus. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you
on the field.